When I was 7 years old, Christ became real. And I'm going to tell you, it was a matter of a flash. It was just like that. I was walking across our driveway. I was going from the garage into the house. And suddenly I took a step and Jesus Christ became a real person. And so I ran in the house and I said, Daddy, Daddy, Jesus is real and I want to be baptized tomorrow. Well, I grew up in a denomination that my dad says to me, well, how about right now? So everyone gathered, we went to the back pond and I was baptized. Our pastor, Joe Green, it was his first baptism. So that was quiet. And yes, it was dunking. Yes, it was a muddy pond in Missouri. So. And then just a little over 20 years ago, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, changed my life. I couldn't believe that experience. I couldn't believe what the Lord was doing and teaching me. Just like, it was just like every day something new about the Lord. But as life happens, the cares of the world, I became a little tarnished. Lacked a little luster in my excitement for the Lord, even in my belief, my understanding, my time with God. But someone, and actually many, have come along to help me shine.
Amen. That would be me?
That's you. You're up.
That would be me. Well, I'm Linda Carr, and I know my husband was up here just a few minutes ago, but I want to make sure that I totally honor the man of God who my husband is to me. He is a pastor to me. He is a teacher to me. He is a friend. Like you said, we've been married 38 years. We have 7 children together. We have 3 grandchildren. Another grandchild is on the way.
Woo-hoo!
And so I have just been excited. The one thing that I love about my husband is that he really is a man of God, not just outside in front of you, but inside my home. And so I can really say that I live with the man of God. And so I just wanted to honor my husband like he does with me every time he stands. But anyways, my name is Linda Carr. I have 7 children. I have been at BCC for almost the family for almost 3 years. Actually, 3 years this month. And when I was a child, I got saved 5 times. Praise God for the bus ministry. I got saved 5 times, but nobody ever told me to study the Word of God. So I knew there was more than just Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, I said, Lord, there has to be more than Jesus Christ and him crucified. So when I got to college is where I met my husband. When I came to Iowa State, I went, actually, my really good friend from college, Michelle, is here. And Michelle and I went to a Jimmy Swaggart evangelistic thing or whatever, and I rededicated my life, and that's when I found out there was something else besides just being saved, and I found out about the being baptized in the Holy Spirit as well. But for me, the last decade of my life, probably every year, about 3 people in my family, personal friends, or my children's friends have passed away. The last person that passed away in my life was my father. And grief has really, really overtook me. So, but I wanted to feel it. I wanted to experience it and feel it in its fullness, because the Bible says that you have a time to grieve. He doesn't say how long, but he says you have a time, and he gives you a time to grieve. And so I was grieving, but I praise the Lord that the Word of God came into my life. And just every time I'm in there, just lifting me up out of that sorrow and grief, and allowing me to understand that for some of the family members that were saved, that they're in my future and that I will see them again. And so I was very happy about that. But that is just what happened in my life. And so I'm excited because Lillian has helped. We discovered a new friend.
Oh, just wait till you hear about Lillian.
Yes, we discovered a new friend. Okay.
So as Linda said, you know, life, it can be grief, it can be situations with our children, it can be people have been hurt in the church or in their jobs or community, and it can be difficult. And, you know, that's just Satan. He just flings those arrows at us, right? I mean, just over and over and over again. And we can lose our sparkle and our glow and our gleam for Christ. Today, Linda and I hope to help you shine again with the discussion of Everyone Heals. It is not just Jesus who heals, but all of us have a place with this gift of the Spirit. Now, we do understand that healing can be controversial in the church. And however, it is so important to this body right here, BCC, that through the direction and leadership of our ministers, it is included as one of our values. So Pastor Turan asked us quite some time ago to speak on Everyone Heals. Now, any one of you who have had Pastor Turan ask you to do anything, when I say quite some time, I actually mean it. Linda and I were a force, and we kind of put him off and made him wait. And he was like, and then finally, we got a very long text that said, "It's time. Let's get taken care of." So we chose the latest date possible. Anyway, but when he asked us to do it, and honestly, it was our own fault because we couldn't stop talking about our new friend Lillian.
Yes.
And so it was our fault that we were asked. But I did suddenly feel nervous about that. And part of it is I didn't feel comfortable with this subject. I don't feel like I'm like there yet, that my faith is big enough for that. I certainly don't feel like I'm an expert in this area. And I was like, what about Everyone Prays? I love to pray. I'll pray all day long. If you have prayer requests, let me know because I will pray for you. Or how about being Holy Spirit led? I love that one. That one's fun, right? No, that wasn't it. So he said, no, I want you to talk about healing. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I went to the Lord, and I said, what do you want your children to know about Everyone Heals? And he said, let them know I have compassion for them and love them. Now, I want you to hear that. The Lord said, for each one of you who are listening here, may listen later, listening online, that he has compassion for you, and he loves you.
Amen.
All right. And so I said, okay, that is BCC's vision. So next slide, please. Oh, we're helping each other shine. Oh, sorry. Maybe we should have had another slide. Okay, next one. Sorry about that. Yes, and we didn't mean to wear matching outfits that day either. That was on accident. So
the vision,
huh? Yes, it was your birthday. So our vision here at BCC, if you don't know, is that we are the heart of God in our world. Did everyone know that?
Yes.
All right. And then we have values. So on the one side, we have our core values, Holy Spirit led down, and then we have our other values. And you can see right there on that, Everyone Heals. As we begin to talk about Everyone Heals, we want to establish some foundational truths. Now, I typed this all out and had my daughter read it, and my daughter has a degree in math, and she's like, oh, Mom, I'm so excited. You have a math formula in this. I didn't know that, so I had no idea. But anyway, apparently there's a math formula in this. So now some of these things that we're going to talk about today may be hard for you to believe, and you might not believe them today, and you might not understand them today, but I'm going to tell you, Linda and I have been praying for you. We have been praying that you will hear, that the Lord will touch you today, that there will be something that we say that you understand came straight from God,
Amen.
Right to you. So we're going to look at next slide, foundation one. All right, foundation one. The Word of God, the Bible, is truth. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture, the word, is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness.
And what I love about that particular scripture, my husband has a Message Bible, and I love what it says in the Message Bible. It says every part of scripture is God-breathed and is useful one way or another, showing us the truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, and training us to live God's way.
All right, there we go. So next slide, foundation two. God loves you. What does it mean that God loves you? The Apostle Paul, that kind of came out very funny looking. I apologize, my columns didn't quite call him out on that, did it? All right, so sorry about that. In Corinthians, we hear this as weddings, but I want you to really hear it not as a wedding, but as you, right? You. Love is patient, kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, trusts, hopes, perseveres. Love never fails. Now, this is going to be a very familiar passage for the majority of you, but in John chapter 3:16, we are told, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." And then again, the Apostle John expresses to us in 1 John 4:16, God is love. Whoever lives in love, lives in God, and God in them. And then in our booklet, does everyone remember this booklet? All right. So on the first page, part of our vision, we are the heart of God in our world. By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. 1 John 4:17. And then the next slide, please.
So what I want to read is Ephesians 3:16-19. And at first, I had it in the King James Version, but yesterday, Pastor read the Passion, and it just brings it out so much more. So I'm going to read Ephesians 3:16 so you can really hear about how God loves you. And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory in favor unto supernatural strength, flood your innermost being with the divine might and explosive power. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and the root of your life. The very resting place of his love. Verse 18-19. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measure that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. This Amen. Is talking about, in the King James, the width, the depth of God's love for us. So if we can grasp this, Paul said, I'm praying that you would get this.
Yeah.
I'm praying that you would get, that you would understand the depth in which God loves you.
Amen.
The depth, the width, the length in which he loves you. I'm praying that you would get that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We could almost stop there. All right. So now that we have an understanding that the word of God is truth and God loves you, we're going to go to foundation three, the next slide. Thank you. Jesus and the Father are one. They're the same. They are the same. They are one. And we can know this, what we have seen and heard from Jesus came straight from the Father. He didn't do anything or say anything that the Father didn't have him say or do. Jesus is the express image of the Father, the perfect expression of God and his holy will. He could say, Jesus, he that has seen me has seen the Father also. That's in John 14:9. And he declared that his works were not his own, but the Father who had sent him. Now, next slide.
Okay, so in Psalms 107:20, mm-hmm. It says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So he sent his word. So now what was the word? So John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. No.
Yes.
In the beginning, yeah, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God.
Yep.
Now in Revelations, we go to Revelation, it says, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So that establishes that the Word is who?
Jesus.
It's Jesus. The Word is who?
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So it goes back. Let me go back. He sent his Word. So he sent it to do what? To heal us. He sent it to deliver us from all our destruction. He sent the Word. Amen.
Amen. All right. Next slide. There we go. Foundation 4. God wants you healed. All right. Psalm 103:2-3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Not some of them, not some of the time, but all your diseases, all of them. He healed all who came to him, never refusing a single individual. You cannot find a case where he said, it is not my will to heal you, or it is necessary for you to suffer for disciplinary purposes. And his answer was always, I will. And this fact forever settles for us God's will with regard to sickness. Of course, it has to be according to our faith. For that is the hand that receives the gift, and God can only fill it to overflowing. And that was written by Dr. Lillian Yeomans, Healing from Heaven, our new best friend.
Our new best friend.
Dr. Lillian.
Oh, yeah, that's our girl.
Yeah, she is.
The next thing that she talks about is Satan was compelled to attack God's word, to question the authenticity of the divine revelation. For as long as man rests on the word of God, he is perfectly invincible, impregnable, immovable. They that trust in the Lord shall be as a Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abide forever. She goes, Psalms 125:1. She goes on to say, Satan can't touch them because he has given us power over all of the power of the enemy. But I want to go back over to Psalms 103:2-3, and I want to look at the word benefit. So one of the things he says, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. What is your soul? Your mind, will, and emotion. Then it says, don't forget. You're telling your soul, your mind. Don't forget his benefits. What are his benefits? So let me tell you what benefits mean. I looked it up. Let me tell you where I looked it up to. I looked it up in the Webster 1828 dictionary, because my girl was born over 100 years ago. So I looked it up in that dictionary. And let me tell you that it says the now part of benefit means advantage, profit. The verb part is it that what God did to us, to do good to advantage, to advance in health or prosperity, to make improvement. Because you have the Spirit of God in you, he made an improvement in your life. You have the advantage because you have the Spirit of God. You have the advantage because you have the Spirit of God. You have the advantage because you have the Spirit of God. You have the advantage because you have the Spirit of God.
Right. Amen. Amen. This is just like our Bible study.
You have the advantage. You have the advantage.
All right. Yes.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So, yes, and I will tell you, in our Bible, we've been in discipleship group. We started, a year and a half ago, and we meet on Tuesday nights. And you never know what we're going to be doing either. We could just show up at your house.
Yes.
So be prepared. We might just show up at your house and preach to you or something.
We're not going to say no names. But.
No, we're not going to say names. Anyway, so let's recap these foundational principles. The Word of God is truth. God loves you. Jesus and the Father are one, and God wants you healed.
Amen.
All right, Linda, the big word, go after that.
Audaciously.
I think we have another slide. Yeah, there we go.
Okay, so this is one of our values, and what I loved about it is if in the book you can see on Everyone Heals, it talks about how we audaciously believe Jesus. We audaciously believe he heals everyone. And so I wanted to talk about the meaning of audacious. Audaciously means in a way that shows a willingness to take risk or offend people. So you may be offended that we believe God, right? Or living audaciously means to boldly, authentically, and fearlessly believe God. So the foundation that was set is that we believe the Word of God is true. We believe that Jesus loves you. Those foundations, I'm so glad that as a value that we audaciously, as a body, believe God. We audaciously are willing that you be offended because it's true.
Right. Right. That's right.
We kind of take that risk.
Yep.
But the truth of God prevails.
Yes.
And what I love that my husband taught me once is that truth demands a response. Truth demands a response. So you'll either fall on the rock humbly or the rock falls on you.
Whoa. Whoa.
So that's what I love about being audacious. I love that this is a value for us.
Yes.
Amen.
I think we might have a value slide. Next slide. Oh, I don't know. This might be, I don't know what slide. Well, it says great things though, doesn't it? yes, this is our slide. I remember this now. I apologize. So BCC's value, Everyone Heals, and this is why we value that. Healing is a sign and a fulfillment that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. Healing is the announcement and display that the kingdom of heaven has come right here on earth, right? His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Healing manifests the Father's love. And Christ heals hurts inside and out. We're not just talking about physical healing here. All of it. Mind, body, spirit. He heals all of it. Thank you. Now, this has been a very long introduction, foundational pieces, just so that we can start to talk about our friend Lillian, who honestly has helped us shine. This woman, it's not mine. Linda gets to talk about her. Go ahead, talk about Miss Lillian.
Okay, so Lillian was born in 1861, 101 years ago. You know, she is...
101 years before you were born.
Before I was born, yes. 101 years before I was born, yeah. She was born in 1861. I was born in 1962, so 101 years before I was born. And so what I want to say to any of you, and I praise God for the young people that are in here, if you have something that God gives you and you want to write it down and you want to give it to the world, if it's your story, if it's your art, or whatever, you don't know who you might make shine 100 years later. So I would encourage you, if God gives you something, give it to the world to share.
Yes.
Because I don't believe that she knew that 100 years later that she was going to have two best friends talking so much about her.
Yep.
The other thing that I loved about Lillian is that in the 1800s, her father was a doctor. She became a doctor. She went to the University of Michigan. She was a doctor at age 21. So girl was, we talked about something in our leadership thing about boldness. So she was definitely bold to be a woman. That impressed me that she was a woman's, I didn't even know there were women doctors back then.
She was a trailblazer.
And she
that's
was
another part
definitely
of what we're
a
doing
trailblazer, and she's definitely empowering us today. So I was very excited about the fact that she was a doc. She's from Canada. She was a doctor at 21, and then she wrote these books because she got into a really bad drug addiction.
Yes.
Really bad drug addiction. And so I'm going to let her testify for herself. So excuse, I squint, so don't tease me. It's a childhood trauma that I went through. But I'm going to read what Lillian said, and I'm gonna go through a little bit about, I'm gonna let Lillian talk about her story. So she says, my sad story has a glad ending, but if anyone asked me how I contracted the morphine habit and became a drug addict, I can only say through my most grievous fault. I've been saved several years before, but like Peter at one stage of his career, I was following afar off. I fell into a snare. It is a dangerous thing to follow afar off. I proved that to my cost. Of course, it is needless to say that nothing was further from my thoughts than becoming a drug addict, but I was engaged in very strenuous work, practicing medicine and surgery. In times of excessive strain from anxiety and overwork, I occasionally resorted singly or in combination with other drugs to steady my nerves and enable me to sleep. Knowing as I did the awful power of the habit inducing to enslave, destroy its victims with practical demonstration of it before my eyes every day among the most brilliant members of the medical profession. I am a graduate of the University of Michigan Department of Medicine, Ann Arbor, Michigan. I was utterly inexcusable for daring to trifle even for a moment with such a destructive agent. And alas, I thought I was toying with the drug, but one day I made the startling discovery that the drug, or rather the demon power in back of the drug, was playing with me. The bloodthirsty tiger had devoured so many victims and had me in its grasp. Oh, the anguish of my soul, the day that I had to acknowledge to myself that morphine was the master and I the slave. I can never now hardly bear to speak. So that's letting you know how it started. And the thing about it is that she tried to give it up like 57 times. She said she probably spent a fortune on getting rid of all the drugs. She would go 24 hours and then she'd go get it again because she was a physician, she had access. And she would just buy it for her own personal thing. She would just buy it. And so she went to doctors. You know how that goes. She went to doctors and the doctors cared for her. The doctors, you know, but what was so bad about the doctors is they could not break her chains. She says fetters. They could not break her chains. They continued to give her the morphine because her body just so needed it. And then she went to different things. Let me tell you what else she did. Because she was saved, she went to the body of Christ. Do you know she went to the body of Christ because it says in James that you can go to the elders and if you're sick and they'll pray for you and you'll be healed? Do you know they refused to pray for her?
Yes.
They refused to pray for her. And so because they refused to pray for her, she said, well, they can't be believers.
Right.
How can you go to preachers and elders and people of the church? And the word says, go to your elders. And she went because she thought, well, I can get healed. And they wouldn't pray for her. And it opened the door for Christian Science because one of her friends said, hey, Christian Science is over here healing. Go to them. So that opened up a terrible door that she walked in and she just spent all her money. And then she finally ended up going to a healing school where they told her that the only way that you're going to make it is by the word of God. And what really impressed me about this is that it was the word of God, not a preacher, not a friend, not anything. It was the Word of God that actually delivered her. She went to this healing school in Chicago, and she, when she went to the healing school, they wouldn't let her do any of the drugs or anything like that, like the doctors had. They had been giving her those drugs.
They just cut her off.
They just cut her off. But let me just give you a description of what she says that when she doesn't have the drug. When by tremendous exercise of willpower, I abstained from it for just 24 hours, my condition was truly pitiful. I trembled with weakness. My whole body was bathed in cold sweat. My heart palpitated and fluttered with respiration was irregular. My stomach was unable to retain even as much as a drop of water. My intestines were racked with pain and tortured with persistent diarrhea. I was unable to stand erect, to articulate clearly, or even sign my own name. This is a doctor. My thoughts were unconnected. My mind was filled with horrid imaging and awful forebodings. And worst of all, my whole being was possessed with a specific, irresistible, indescribable craving for the drug. So she made all these attempts, went to the doctor. One of the nurses, when they saw her, said that she was like a skeleton with a devil inside. So this is what she said in conclusion. She said, "It will take something stronger than death to deliver me. For the hold of this hideous thing is far deeper than my physical being. And I was right. For it took the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which makes us free from the law of sin and death."
Amen.
Romans 8:2.
Yes.
Do you ask, did you pray? Yes. I came to the place where all I did was pray and pray and pray night and day, and I walked. I prayed so much I almost tore my hair out. But she said, because of my unbelief, she said, I didn't believe the simple statement of the Word of God.
Right.
Rather, my healing could not be manifested because my unbelief shut the door and prevented the power of God from operating unhindered in my body. And why did you not have faith, you ask? Simply because I did not have the light enough to take it. It is a gift that must be appropriated. And moreover, God's method of bestowing it is through his word. Faith cometh, not that it cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh, note, I'm sorry, that it cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want to go over the word appropriate. So I want to explain a few things about appropriate. So in the regular dictionary, it says, take something for one's own use, usually without the owner's permission. But God has given us permission,
right? Yes.
In the Webster, in the 1828 dictionary, it says, to take to oneself at exclusion of others, to claim or use by exclusive right. So when you claim and use the word of God, you have an exclusive right from Jesus to do it.
Yes.
So let me just give you an example about appropriating. So there was a story that the Lord led me to, and this is when my cousin had died. And I remember we didn't have any money, that we were in ministry and we were broke, and when it came, I needed to go. And my mom was dependent on me to come, and my family was dependent on me to come. And I remember that the Lord said to me, if you act like you're going to go, you'll go. Mm-hmm. He said, if you act like if you're going to go, you will go. So I packed my bags. I got dressed because the wake was that night. It was 19 hours away. Somebody had given me bus fare, but bus fare was not going to do it. So I got $150. As soon as I got dressed, as soon as I packed my bags, we got a phone call that said, I got a plane ticket for you, but if you have to leave now. You have to leave now. So this is what happened. So the word says that you have to speak those things that are not as though they were. So I went to my husband and I spoke to him. I said, I'm going on this trip. I don't know how, I didn't physically know how I was going to do it, but the Lord spoke to me and said, if you act like you're going, you will go. So it was a step of faith. I had to take that word and appropriate it. I had to take that word and appropriate it and put some action to it.
Yes.
And so I packed my bags. I got dressed. Where my family drove 12 hours, if I was not ready at that point, I'd take a groom, went to Atlanta, got on a plane, 2 hours, I was there. I appropriate that word that God gave me. So even when it comes with your healing and with faith, you got to act like you're healed. Amen. You got to appropriate the word of God. You got to take it. That's what she's saying. You got to take it. She said at one point she took it and she ate the word of God.
Yes.
She said she ate it.
Mm-hmm.
She ate the word of God. I mean, this woman has excited. Let me tell you why I was excited. Because there was a point in November when I was not movable.
Right.
It was like something came into my body, like an old woman came into my body. I could not move. I was in pain. I could not get out of bed. And there was this dark cloud that was in my mind that says, accept it. This is how you're going to live for the rest of your life. And I remember thinking to myself, can I fight this? And the Spirit of God rose up in me and said, oh, no, you got to go. Oh, no, you got to go. And even though it left, I remember going and asking Anna to pray, had different people praying for me, and it left up out. It was like a residue, you know, that kind of stayed. So I'm still working. But I'm telling you, I am moving good. Y'all see me? Y'all see me? I couldn't do this before. I'm just telling you. It was hard for me to get up and out. It was hard for me to do things. So when this book came along, when they dropped this book off at Carla's, I downloaded it on my Kindle and I commenced to reading because I wanted to know about God's healing power for my life.
I do want to talk about something a little supernatural about this book. So is this healing power, Dr. Lillian Yeomans? And literally it did just get dropped off at our house. I don't know, February, March sometime. We think we might know who did it, but no one has come forward to say that they did. And then it sat on the counter for a couple of days, and then I started reading it. And I said, Mark, can you look at just the first couple of pages to make sure that this is okay? Because we didn't know where it came from, right? And so Mark looked at it, and he goes, yeah, sounds right. And then like, all right, so then I started reading it. And then, I don't know, Linda and I were in discipleship. We were doing another Bible study with separate groups. And then we're trying to study that Bible study, but then we couldn't put this book down. And so I'm up early, so I'm texting her at 5 o'clock in the morning. Oh, you got to read page 21, or this page is going to blow your mind. And then she's texting me at 10 o'clock at night because she's a little more of a night owl. And so then we're just doing this back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And so what happened was reading this book that honestly, it is full of testimony of Dr. Lillian and the people that she laid hands on for healing and the Word of God. It is absolutely filled with the Word of God. And that is what we are saying, that she has been instrumental in helping us shine, because we're talking about that, and then we're talking about each other, and then we're telling everybody that we see, hey, we got to tell you about this book. We've got to tell you about Dr. Lillian. And so she did excite us, and we excited each other, and then we're just like trying to spread it, and we're hoping you're going to get excited about it too. But I will tell you, this came with a cost as well, because as soon as Linda and I started reading this and believing it and speaking it over our lives, we ended up with some of the weirdest physical symptoms. And I'm telling you, like, crazy stuff. Like, one morning I woke up and I had a rash from head to toe. It didn't itch. It didn't hurt. And it's like, where did it come from? Old symptoms of chronic illnesses that have been at bay for years and years and years just started to just like leap forward. And I'd call Linda and we would read the Word of God over each other. We would read more in this book. We'd pick up our Bibles and we would read and read and read. But I'm going to tell you what, the attacks have been very strong and real. And as soon as Pastor asked us to do this, it started all over again. It was painful. So if it is a desire of you, we are serious. We will pray over you. We will cover you. We will ask you to be hidden from the enemy. So I just wanted to just throw that piece in. And yes, she does excite us and helps us shine.
Yes, yes. Well, let me just read this last part that she says. I was getting very weak and spent hour after hour in bed, and God in his mercy kept me much alone so that he could talk to me. At last, I drew my neglected Bible to me and plunged into it with full purpose of heart to get all there was for me, to do all that God told me to do, to believe all he said, and praise God, the insoluble problem was solved. The impossible was achieved. The deliverance was wrought. There is no trouble about it. When God can get us to meet his conditions of repentance and faith, when God says faith, he means faith. It is well to know that. If anyone asks by what special scripture verse I was healed, I feel as though I could almost say I was healed by the whole Bible.
So where do we fit into this everyone heals? All right, we know the word of God heals. And I think that's been really important piece of that is we have that same power in us. That resurrection power, it lives in us. If we have Christ in us, then we have it as well. And so, you know, we talked about yesterday, sometimes some things you have to practice, right? So you practice. You practice laying hands on people and watch them be healed. And people, if someone lays hands on you or prays for you, let them know that you were healed or that symptom went away. We have to encourage and spur one another along to do these good works. So just keep practicing and doing these good things. But part of that practice is, listen, if this is long neglected somewhere and dusty, find it. Read it. Devour it. It's critical.
And let me just tell you, I'm going to let Lillian speak a little bit more. Suffice to say, I found great number of healing passages in the Bible. And when God's word were found, I ate them. And they did their work. They never fail. I knew I was healed, that I couldn't help but being healed because God was faithful. And I almost lost interest in my symptoms. I was so certain of the truth. The drugs went. I didn't know how they left 19 years later. She was certain of the truth. Certain of it. And that's where we got to be. We got to be certain of what God is saying about the truth. One of the things that the Lord also dealt with me about is to let you guys know, don't be like Job's friends. So Job in the Bible had some friends that when he was sick and he was going through, if you don't know that particular book, read it. But Job was going through, and so he had three friends that came. And they professed to be wise, and they were going to speak all these things. But at the end of the day, the Lord said, I am not pleased with your three friends because they didn't speak what was right about me. Be careful about what you speak on God as far as healing goes.
Yes.
Because we need to go into the word of God. Don't be like Job's friends that speaks the wrong thing about God. That speaks the wrong thing about God and what he says. Because God does love you and he wants you well. Yes. He wants you well. Amen.
Amen.
Do we have time for our...
I think. All right. So if you have a Bible or if it's on your phone or however it is you do your Bible, because I know in some ways it might sound like, well, after a service like this, maybe it's about an altar call. But the Lord said no altar call. He said, I want my people reading my word that is truth, right? So I don't care if you have a favorite scripture, you can look at that. I would recommend John 14:12. That's in the New Testament, the first few books of the New Testament, if you want to look up that one. We have maybe Romans 8:11. That might be a really good one as well.
You can go to Ephesians 1:18. Yeah. That open up the eyes of your understanding.
Right. I'm a strong believer in Psalm 107:20. I've said it a million times in the last 6 months.
Yes.
Just over and over and over and over again. So whatever it is, just find that for yourself. And just for a few minutes, read the Word of God. Just read it. Think about it. Remember those foundational truths, that it's true. The Lord wants you healed. Jesus and the Father are one. Just for a moment. Father, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you that it's truth, and we want to thank you that you breathed it into existence.
Yes.
That it is good for us. It trains us. It corrects us. It
Yes.
teaches us. It heals us. And Father, we just want to thank you that there was a day that Jesus was with the people. The sun was going down. And the whole village just kept bringing their sick family members to him. No matter what that disease was, no matter what that concern was, Jesus, he touched them. His hand came upon each and every one, and he healed every single one. Thank you that everyone heals. Thank you that you have the power of Jesus Christ in us. Thank you that you cared enough to do that for us. Thank you, Father, that you have compassion on your children. We love you. We desire to walk in your ways, and we thank you that you have healed us through the blood of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.